Doing everything. And our videographers, is this a good angle and position? Yes. Beloved brothers and sisters, the theme of this year's summer school, as you know, is a living heart. And this talk draws its inspiration from the theme. And the title of this talk is Love, Life, Joy. Love, Life, Joy. Here at the beginning, may I ask you if you're comfortable, if you're not, it's okay, you can do this, to just reach out and touch someone's hand next to you. And if you're at the end of an aisle, you might think of just touching the person's shoulder in front of you, if that's possible. You know that song, reach out and touch someone's hand, make this world a better place if you can? That's what Sufism's all about. And let us say the Sufi invocation together. Towards the one, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. Let me begin by asking you a question. Have you ever heard a pop song or a love song and you think, oh, in one way, that's very personal, and I could think of someone that I have a tender feeling for while I hear this song. But then all of a sudden, you hear it in a different way, and you think, this is really a song to the beloved, to God. Has that ever happened for you? Such an amazing thing. So, I'm dating myself a little bit, but I remind you, I was two when I heard this song for the first time. Wink, wink. This song is by Petula Clark. Do any of you remember Petula Clark? Whatever happened to Petula Clark, by the way? Anyway. This song, and again, remember of this, our song to God, our love song to God. And the words go, I couldn't live without your love. Now I'm going to play a little bit of this song, and if you don't hear all the words, it's okay, I'll read them to you afterwards, okay? End of the talk, I have it, it will play in a loop for you. So if you want to listen to all the songs, please do. All the words, excuse me. Let me read the words because it is really beautiful. And I'll only read those few words we heard. And again, thinking of this as our love song to God, and maybe even God's love song to us. You're the only one that I rely on, a shoulder there for me to cry on. In the hours alone that I'm without you, all I ever do is think about you. No one knows that you're so understanding. Even though my love's so demanding, every time I look at you, look at me, every time you look at me, then I know we'll both agree. There's no other love for me. I couldn't live without your love. Now that I know you're really mine, got to have you all the time. Do you like those words? So, I would encourage you to listen to the whole song sometime, because from one view, again, it's just a pop tune, it's a love song, but in another way, it's this beautiful chronicling of this quest for our experience of God, this intimacy, this love relationship with God. And it chronicles our spiritual journey. And it also speaks to how sometimes we can play hide and seek with God. You know what I'm talking about. And Murshid talks about that. It's the veiling and the unveiling. The veiling and the unveiling. Sometimes it's so apparent, and sometimes it's not. It's obscured. In Hinduism, we're taught that a lover of Dharma, and we're asked to be a lover of Dharma, and we're reminded that God is seated in everyone's heart. Thy light is in all forms. Thy love in all beings. We take it, or we could take it, as our sacred duty to see God seated in the heart of everyone. And as the words of the song say, I couldn't live without your love, that we can't live without each other's love, manifesting through each being. Through you, and you, and you, and you, and you. Through all and every living being. In the Hindu scriptures, known as the Yajurveda, we read, the one who loves all intensely begins perceiving all living beings as oneself. I think Sikandar, you reminded of this point to us this morning. The one who loves all intensely begins perceiving all living beings as a part of oneself. One becomes a lover of all, a part and parcel of universal joy, and flows with a stream of happiness that is enriched by every soul. Now notice this verse doesn't say we're enriching every soul. It's saying every soul is enriching us. I remember living in Dharamsala at the monastery of my Tibetan Buddhist mentor, His Eminence Kamtul Rinpoche. And he, at this point, was in retirement from his Tibetan government in exile job as the Minister of Culture and Religion. And he was teaching, doing Dharma work. And he's also one of the senior teachers and advisors now to His Holiness the Dalai Lama. And Rinpoche, at this time, when I asked him this question, was well into his 80s. And as I say, I was living at the monastery. I had a very little room. I lived out of a suitcase for more than 1 year. But I always looked great, let me tell you. It's always there, no matter what. So, what would happen is all kinds of day and night, there would be a knocks at my door. That is when the monastery dogs would let someone get there. But they would always come to my door first, thinking that I was the attendant, which was a beautiful, beautiful thought. But I'd always direct them to Rinpoche's door. And I tell you, sometimes these people, they were angry, they were fighting with family members, they seemed demented, they were crying, that, you know, whatever. And Rinpoche, I saw time after time, very calmly receive the person and take them gently in. And sometimes I could see, because he also had a room very nearby that only had a curtain, so I could hear and see. And he transformed that energy. So they could be angry, they could be sad, they could be whatever, crazy, really, I've seen it, almost growling. And he would somehow take that energy and turn it in a way that people left with great peace and great calm and stability. But the demands on his time were incredible. And again, a man well into his 80s, with the responsibility of running a monastery, giving teachings, advising His Holiness the Dalai Lama, and so forth. And so I asked him, I said, Rinpoche, how do you do this? How do you do this and not get tired or weary, or how does it not go in you? And he said to me, Nuria, I see every living being as a stepping stone towards my own enlightenment, and that does not make me weary. A beautiful thing. Even when someone's coming, we're just there, receptive. Now, Murshid says it in this way. This is one of my favorite quotes. I keep it on my phone in my notes. True happiness is the love stream that springs from one soul, and the man who will allow this stream to flow continually in all conditions of life, in all situations, however difficult, will have a happiness that truly belongs to him. Shall I read it again? So beautiful. True happiness is the love spring, true happiness is the love stream that springs from one soul, and the man who will allow this stream to continually flow in all conditions of life, in all situations, however difficult, will have a happiness that truly belongs to him. Now, Murshid's not saying that life's path or the spiritual path is all puppy dogs, unicorns, and rainbows. It's not that kind of talk at all. No, he's indicating to us that to me, what it means to have a living heart is that this love stream, if we can have contact with it, keeps springing from one soul in all situations, however difficult. Have you had any difficult situations in your life? But this is great advice, right? If we can remember this, how beautiful. So let's just take a moment. If you feel comfortable, if not, you can do it open-eyed. But maybe turn your consciousness and your inner glance within to your heart, and deeper yet to your soul. And see if you can, I think of a Saint Bernadette, you know, she was, everyone thought she was crazy when she fell to the earth and started digging in the ground, and then a little water came and she put the mud in her mouth. They really thought she was quite mad. But what came there? Has anyone been to Lourdes? This incredible wellspring came out. A wellspring of love and blessing and healing. This is here too. Maybe we have to dig a little bit. But can you feel through the thought of love this arising? It's easy sometimes to do it here. And let the stream flow outward from your being. And please let it flow to those that you need, that we know need love and understanding and compassion. And especially the places in this world that are in so much need of love and life and joy. It's like Rinpoche says, every one of those circumstances, every one of those situations that allow us to open up more, to send more love and life to these areas in the world that desperately need it. This is of benefit to others. It's also of benefit to ourselves to do this practice. It's good to have a place to direct the practice. It's also good to remember. Have you ever tried to walk in a river against the stream? Or at the ocean when the waves are coming in? You know what I'm talking about. It can be a little rough. It can be difficult. Well, here's a secret. If you have this love stream flowing outward, it's like that current. It's like that wave. It's like that river. There's not a lot that can swim in to hurt you if you're just loving and giving. Do you understand? It's like a basic law of nature. And sometimes when things come towards us, we do have an experience, we have a ripple. But that too is of great benefit. Thank each person for those difficulties. When Rinpoche gave me the practice of Nundro, 100,000 times full prostration on the ground, it's a good yoga, makes you very strong. He gave me these beautiful instructions. He said, Nuria, think of mother and father on each side. Think of all living beings around you. Think before you in the space, beautiful beings filling space, holy beings offering their blessing and praying with all of you. Imagine beautiful mountains and streams and trees that are filled with wish-fulfilling jewels. And once you do that, remember you'll be the chant master for all beings. And then, as you begin, place your enemies before you and do your prostrations there. And I said, Rinpoche, I would think that I would have my ideal. I would be imagining, you know, all the holy beings there that I'm prostrating to. And he said, oh no, it is only your enemies that really give you a chance to practice the Dharma. You understand what I'm saying? So when someone comes and they're a little rough or they say something or they criticize, there's nothing else to say but thank you. It's a great opportunity. It's so beautiful. And it really works. It changes our thinking like Merchant Nawab was talking about. The critical mind becomes the loving, thankful mind. It changes everything because we are changed. Do you understand? Maybe you all have also received these instructions. On the subject of Buddhism, and then I'll move on, I would like to read to you this prayer of the great, great Buddhist saint, Shantideva. Have you heard of him? Some maybe have. And he talks about this love stream that Murshid was just giving us. True happiness is the love stream that flows in all conditions. And he gives this teaching in this way. It's very beautiful and poetical. And the prayer is called the far-reaching thought of bodhicitta, or the compassionate mind, the open heart. The being that, and we strive to be those beings, the one that always wants all beings to have comfort and happiness. And this is how it goes. And it's a little long, but I made copies of this. If you would feel moved, they're on the little table outside, and you can take one. And I say it frequently, and when I say it in the future, I will remember all of you here today. And perhaps if you say it, you will do the same. May I become food and drink in the eons of famine for those poverty-stricken sufferers. May I be a doctor, medicine, and nurse for all sick beings in the world until everyone is cured. May I become never-ending, wish-fulfilling treasures materializing in front of each of them as all the enjoyments they need. May I be a guide for those who do not have a guide, a leader for those who journey, a boat for those who want to cross over, and all sorts of ships, bridges, beautiful parks for those who desire them, and light for those who need light. May I become beds for those who need rest, and a servant to all who need servants. May I also become the basic conditions for all sentient beings, such as earth and sky, which is indestructible. May I always be the living conditions for all sentient beings until all sentient beings are enlightened. As I said, there are copies of this. If you'd like to read it again to yourself slowly, please feel free. And if you don't feel called, it's also okay. So this prayer, again, like Murshid's quote on true happiness, call upon our wisdom and illuminated mindfulness to all the conditions and needs of those around us. And what's more is to love. I'm not talking about love in a sentimental way, in a kind of attached way. You know, Murshid talks about independence and indifference. And what I know also is Murshid, and you do too, if you've read or if you've listened to stories, Murshid traveled all throughout the Himalayas meeting all different kinds of holy men. And they know specifically that there's one practice, healing practice, that's kind of a secret one. And the person even sharing that with me didn't even know themselves that the practice that Murshid gave was this symbol in a certain color that is purely Tibetan Buddhism, with the sound. He had to have learned that from a Tibetan Buddhist master. So, back to Murshid in this independence and indifference. I'm not talking about loving an individual. I'm talking about loving that transcends that, a universal love that just loves without causes and conditions. It could be said like the sun that's always shining. It doesn't say, I love you and I will only shine on you and I don't love you and I won't shine on you. It just shines. It can't help itself. May we be those suns. Not S-O-N, S-U-N. S-U-N, light. In the Holy Zend Avesta we read, with the eyes of love made by Mazda and holy, the god of wisdom, intelligence, and harmony. With the eyes of love. With the eyes of love. What does that mean, with the eyes of love? The prophet Zoroaster teaches us, be good, be kind, be humane, be charitable. Love your brothers and sisters. Console the afflicted. And pardon those who have done you wrong. Pardon those who have done you wrong. We find these same teachings echoed in the book of Matthew, where Jesus is asked, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus says, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second, which is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments, hang all the law and the prophets. And in the book Luke, Jesus says, and I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. The Buddhist prayer says, may I be all the causes and conditions for all beings' happiness. Shanti Dev says it in that way. Every messenger has told us this. Jesus goes on to say, do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is it to you? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is to you? Is it to you? Is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those for whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them. And lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because the Most High is kind to all. Be merciful, just as God is merciful. Love our neighbors as ourself. And what's more, Jesus says, love our enemies. Well, these are beautiful words, but they're not always easy to do, right? If we can let this come into our mind stream so that it almost becomes the default, when something happens, to go there and remember these teachings. The true love stream in all conditions. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Love thy enemies. Murshid says, many seek protection from all hurting influences by building some wall around themselves. But the canopy over the earth is so high that a wall cannot be built high enough. The only thing one can do is to live in the midst of all inharmonious influences, to strengthen one's willpower and to bear all things, to bear all things, yet keep a fineness of character and a nobleness of manner together with an ever-living heart. Remember also what Murshid teaches us, that love is the Divine Mother's arms. And when those arms are outspread, every soul falls into them. Love is the Divine Mother's arms. And when those arms are outspread, every soul falls into them. You know, I had the great opportunity of working in Calcutta with Mother Teresa when she was still alive. I wasn't there very long, but it was enough. I'm telling you, it was a most amazing experience. And when I would walk into the orphanage, you know what the children would do? That's what every single one of us is doing all the time. We need to be loved, but we also, by giving love, create, like it's like pumping the well that allows the wellspring to come forth. Yeah? So think of the whole world as doing this, and you don't have to do anything. You just consider that you're taking them into your heart. You're wishing them to be happy and well. Can we do that? Let's try, because that's real Sufism. All the lectures in the world are not going to change us. We have to change ourselves by these thoughts and inner prayers. Now, I'm almost done. You may be glad to know that. Today, when I first began, I was a little moved because some of you know my mom passed away about a year ago. And today I was thinking about mom. It's like, are you with me, mom? And I was in the bathroom of the apartment where I am. And I only had a little crack in the window, and the curtains are pulled back from the window a bit. And all of a sudden, I heard, like the curtain opened, and I thought, could it be possible? What am I hearing? And I walked out. The curtain was open, and I thought, ah, she's here. So with my mom in mind, I want to give her some credit. She was a single mom, and she raised us alone. She was a very brave woman. And she was also very feisty and sassy, if you can tell. The apple doesn't fall very far from the tree. But she was also a woman of great faith. She came to our Sufi circle for all decades. She's been coming, you know, and people will come to, they would come to Mother and they would say, please, Maggie, her name was Margaret Ann Sabato, but she liked Maggie. It's a little more sassy than Margaret Ann. And she said, they'd say, would you pray for me for employment, or I'm sick, or I'm having relationship trouble? And she'd always say, don't worry, I'll pray for you. Don't worry, I'll pray for you. And even now people say they can feel her when they pray, you know. So I want to give my mom some credit, because she certainly deserves it. She was a really wonderful example of how to be strong in difficult times, how to be gracious in suffering, or when someone was maybe unkind. And she was a woman of great faith and believed in the power of prayer. And so I thank you, Mom. And although Murshid Hidayat and Murshida Aziza are not here, I want to thank them also. Their unfailing love to me, their constant encouragement, their wisdom, and great loving friendship over these years. When I first met them, they came to visit us for, we were about 10 days. Imagine two couples in the same house. And when we picked them up at the airport, I said to them, you know, the only way this is going to work is if we're completely honest with each other. I said, I'm very intuitive, but if you don't tell me, you know, what you would like, there might be problems. They said, we agree. And to Murshid Karim Bash, you have honored me in the most courageous way, in the most gracious way, by inviting me to follow in your footsteps. That your belief in me gives me great confidence and courage. Thank you so much. And I will do my very best. Not I will try to do my very best, I will do my very best. Sheikh Mosheikh, who's also not here, I love his friendship. I told him the other day, you know, Sheikh Mosheikh, you and I, we're going to be around for a long time. We're like birds in each other's saddle, and our little fighting intention with each other is so good for us. It keeps us young and strong. It keeps the blood boiling. And we both laughed, and it was really wonderful. So I so appreciate his friendship, his honesty, his wit, and his devotion over all these years, being raised as a Sufi and maintaining his Sufi devotion. I really appreciate him. And there's so many other people in this hall, because honestly, I could go around and I could say something to each one of you, because it is so true. You're like beautiful flowers in the garden, each one unique. And I so appreciate each and every one of you. And to really love you, you know, when I'm away from here, I think about all of you all the time, remember you. And Murshid Nawab, I want to thank you for your intelligence and your scholarship. I read your postings. I've missed them the last few days, but I read them every day. I learn from you. His humor, he makes us laugh, and your advice to me, and your brotherly support and your sensitivity. I've never had a brother, but Nawab is really teaching me what it means to have a brother. And I also think if we would look up the word gentleman in the dictionary, we would find your picture. You're a true gentleman, really. Really. Miss Karima Gita, she's been a friend of mine for over half my life, which means over half her life also, and a really great friend and a great companion. And we've traveled the world together, and we have a lot of fun. And I'm saying all the other people that have come from near and far, my deep appreciation and gratitude for you. And you know, there's not just a few people that can spread this Sufi message. It's every single one of us. When we step out of this temple onto the street and we see a child or an old person or anyone, a dog, I always talk to the dogs, I love the dogs, and then I get to talk to the people because they love their dogs too, but at any rate, just find a way to have a connection. If someone wants one, if you can tell they're open, otherwise don't impose, just wish them well. Wish them well. Okay. Lastly, just to offer this thought and prayer that we always are the awakened living expression of love and life and joy, that we become those examples of a living heart. We are already, but more so, more so, more so. And we pray that draws closer to thee every moment of our life, until in us be reflected thy grace, thy glory, thy wisdom, thy joy, and thy peace. Now I have a few parting words. These are from the great 20th century philosophers known as the Beatles. You know, they sang some really great advice to us. You might recognize the words. And they said, all you need is love. Love is all we need. Nothing that you can sing that can't be sung.
Nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game.
Nothing that you can say, but you can learn how to play the game. It's easy.
Nothing you can make that can't be made.
Nothing you can make that can't be made.
No one you can say that can't be saved.
No one that you can say that can't be saved.
Nothing you can do, but you can learn how to be you in time.
Nothing that you can do, but you can learn to be you in time. It's easy.
Love is all you need. Thank you. Yeah. But
Mm-hmm.